This episode is sponsored by Celestron, manufacturer of high-quality telescopes and an industry leader in developing exciting optical products with revolutionary technologies.
I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during September. This month, we celebrate the equinox, find out which lunar phase happens when, stalk the harvest moon, check in with Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn, and explore the summer triangle. So grab your curiosity and come along on this month's Sky Tour. If you live in the Northern Hemisphere, by now you've surely noticed that the daylight hours are getting shorter. Back in July, the change was oh so subtle. But now we're losing a couple of minutes of sun each day, more so if you live farther north. So it's with mixed emotions that I tell you that the equinox falls on September 23rd at 3:50 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. On this date, the sun momentarily shines directly down on Earth's equator as it heads south in declination. Equinox comes from the Latin word equinoctium, meaning equal nights. Days and nights are both 12 hours long everywhere, and the sun rises due east and sets due west, no matter where you are. This month, we just miss having new moon fall on the 1st. It happened on August 31st. In North America, first quarter follows on the evening of September 5th. Last quarter is on the evening of the 21st, and new moon is on the 28th. The moon is also its closest to Earth on the 28th, so ocean tides will be especially strong that day. Careful listeners will note that I skipped the full moon, which occurs just after midnight on the 14th here in Boston, and on the evening of the 13th in time zones farther west. We call this the harvest moon. That's because, at this time of year, the nearly full moon rises only about a half hour later each succeeding evening, as opposed to the usual 50 minutes. It has to do with the shallow slant of the moon's orbit with respect to the eastern horizon right now. This geometry gives farmers a little extra late evening light for harvesting their crops, hence the name. The effect is more pronounced at higher northern latitudes and less so down south. Traditionally, the harvest moon is the full moon closest to the equinox, and so that usually happens in September, as this year. But not always. 2 years ago, the harvest moon rose on October 5th. Right now, the small rocky worlds that are Earth's planetary neighbors are positioned too close to the sun to be seen in the pre-dawn or evening sky. Well, Venus is the exception. It's now easing its way into the evening twilight after passing behind the sun in mid-August. So during the final days of September, you have a chance of spotting Venus very low in the west, about 30 minutes after sunset. If you miss seeing Venus, don't worry. We're still enjoying lovely joint appearances by Jupiter and Saturn every clear evening. Jupiter is easiest to spot. As twilight fades, turn away from the sunset point toward left, and you'll spot the king of planets well up in the south-southwestern sky. Jupiter is still bright and shiny, but it's lost more than half of the brilliance it had earlier this summer when it was closer to Earth. By month's end, it will be setting around 10 p.m. The distinctly reddish star to its lower right, separated by about half the width of your clenched fist held at arm's length, is Antares, which marks the heart of Scorpius. The first quarter moon makes a striking sky triangle with Jupiter and Antares on the evening of September 5th. The other bright planet, Saturn, is also past its prime for evening viewing. It's to the left of Jupiter by about 3 fists, perched almost due south as evening twilight fades. If your sky is not hopelessly swamped by light pollution, look for the pattern of medium bright stars to Saturn's immediate lower right. That's the Teapot, a part of the constellation Sagittarius. Summer might be ending astronomically, but most of summer's stars can still be seen. Topping the list is the trio of bright stars collectively called the Summer Triangle. Finding them is easy, even if your backyard is hopelessly awash with light pollution. Lift your gaze up, way up, to find a bright star that's almost directly overhead. That's Vega, or some say Vega. It's in the constellation Lyra, the Lyre. And it's relatively close, as stars go, just 25 light years away. Vega and its relative closeness figured prominently in Contact, one of my very favorite movies. Astronomers gauge a star's brightness by a number called its magnitude, and Vega is an important star in this scheme. Some 2,100 years ago, an ancient Greek astronomer named Hipparchus decided to create a method for organizing stars according to their brightness. He called the most luminous ones stars of the first magnitude, and he ranked the fainter ones second, third, fourth, and fifth, like the prize order in a contest. The ones that were sixth magnitude marked the limit of visibility with the eye. Modern astronomers have assigned Vega the magnitude of 0.00. Now, it turns out that four other nighttime stars are brighter than Vega, and so their magnitudes are negative. One of them is in the evening sky during September. I'll reveal its identity in a moment, but look around yourself to see if you can figure out which one it is. If you're looking up at Vega, you should be also seeing the two other corners of the summer triangle. One is to the south of Vega by about three times the width of your fist. That's Altair, and it's the main star in the constellation Aquila, the Eagle. The third star is about two fists from Vega toward east. That star is called Deneb, a westernized version of the Arabic phrase for hen's tail. Deneb does mark the tail of a bird, but it is a graceful swan, the constellation Cygnus. At the swan's other end is a star called Albireo, Arabic for hen's beak, and it lies midway between Vega and Altair. And in between Deneb and Albireo are a row of three stars that mark the swan's body and wings. If you're able to get away from city lights and out under a really dark, moonless sky, you'll see that the swan is gliding right down the middle of the Milky Way's softly glowing river of starlight. So that's the summer triangle. As the weeks go by, this easy-to-spot trio will gradually migrate westward in the sky. It'll stay with us for a few more months before sinking out of sight in the west. Okay, time's up. Have you found the star that's brighter than Vega? Well, if you look west, well to the upper right of where the sun set, there's a star that looks just about as bright. That's Arcturus, the anchor star in a constellation called Boötes. And technically, it does outshine Vega, but only by 5%. Actually, Vega probably looks like the brighter star, both because it's overhead, where there's the least haze, and because Arcturus is slightly reddish. That's about it for this month. If you want more tips for viewing the night sky, check out our website, skyandtelescope.org, which offers great star and planet gazing activities. If you haven't already subscribed, you can find Sky Tour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. And please leave us a rating or review. It'll help others find the show. And if you want to explore the solar system and universe more deeply, please do check out the full line of binoculars and telescopes available at Celestron.com. Sky Tour is a production of Sky and Telescope, a division of the American Astronomical Society, and is produced by me, Kelly Beattie. Next month, we'll spend a little more time with the Lyre, Eagle, and Swan and explore the myths and legends surrounding them. Until then, I wish you clear skies.